You're listening to Two Dudes, One Disc, where the most sought-after music journalists, the greatest minds in the history of... You really gonna make me read this
Just read it!
Take on the most influential albums of all time. Here's your host, Michael Heidemann, on Two Dudes, One Disc.
Welcome in, everybody. It is great to see you again on another episode of Two Dudes, One Disc. This is your host, Mike Heidemann, and I am so excited to take on this album today. Sitting next to me is producer with the skills to pay the bills, the all-day Sugar Ray expert, and WGN up-and-comer, Ashley Byhun. Ashley, what's going on today?
I'm ready to dive into this album. This song is a great song to start it off with, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
It is the first one on the album, but it's such an amper-upper.
Mm-hmm.
It's just really exciting.
It just really kicks you into a different gear listening to this, because when you first get into Sugar Ray, which is the album we're taking on today, Sugar Ray's self-titled Sugar Ray album, you hear a lot of their hits, which are more mellow. You knew Fly, you knew, what's the other one? When It's Over.
Yeah, When It's Over.
A lot of more low-key songs, but this one's just like, kaboom, you're right there with Answer the Phone. And it's a cool message, too.
Yeah, it's very interesting. We'll dive into it as we talk about it, but like, it's very interesting when you listen to all the different albums other than this one.
Mm-hmm.
They have so many different sounds, and on this album alone, there's they go all over the place, and it's very interesting how they actually attract an audience.
Yes.
Because it's very similar, but it's also very different. Like, this is a very punk pop, like upper amper type vibe, and then you have like a more of a tropical vibe later on, and we'll get to that when we go through it all.
But yeah,
it's exciting.
So this is Sugar Ray's, according to Wikipedia, self-titled fourth album by the band. The album was released June 12th, 2001. Oh my gosh, 18 years ago. Debuted at number 6 on the Billboard 200 chart, and eventually won gold. Took over the world. Mark McGrath went on ET. Ashley became a mega fan of theirs. I got to give a quick shout out to my friend Kelly Hovanek, who we will talk about a little bit later, because she's probably the biggest Sugar Ray fan that I know. But we were talking about the fandom of these people who got into Sugar Ray. What is it about this band, and why this album out of all of their albums, Ashley?
You know what? I was thinking about that after you asked me about the album, and I think it just has a lot to do with the fact that, for me personally, have you seen the Scooby-Doo live-action movie where they go to the Spooky Island? Have you seen that movie?
It's funny you mention that, because when I was doing research, I did catch a glimpse of that, but no, I haven't seen it yet.
Okay, so for my age group, because 18 years ago, I was only like 4 or something like that. So
I was also 4.
Right. But I was young, so my introduction to this band was watching the Scooby-Doo movie, the live-action movie, because if you haven't seen the movie, spoiler alert, there's like aliens or like these weird dudes.
Okay.
And they're in a scene, they're like in a party scene where they're the band at like this pool party.
Mm-hmm.
And they are like, their eyes change color, and it's supposed to insinuate that they're the aliens, like they're in their bodies.
Oh.
And one of the songs on this album is actually featured in the movie. And that was my introduction to Sugar Ray, because my mom and I were watching the movie, and she was like, "That guy's hot, Mark McGrath."
Mm-hmm.
And as like a little kid, I was like, "Yeah, that guy's hot." And then that's what made me want to listen to music. Also, the music's awesome, but
yeah,
as a kid, that was my introduction.
Wait, so for you, the hottest kind of guys were possessed ghouls?
Yes.
At the time?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. To each their own. All right, so that was the first song, Answer the Phone. I'm going to take off these sunglasses that I was wearing for all of our Facebook Live audience. You can't see that, but you can't see it if you're on the podcast. Let's go into the next song real quick, which is When It's Over. So this was obviously a hit of theirs. I remember growing up and listening to this song too. It would always be playing on the radio nonstop, almost too much at one point.
Yeah.
But you were talking about how you grew with a connection from them by watching them on the Scooby-Doo movie. That's really important to showcase your music, because a lot of favorite bands that I've seen were the same way. The first time I heard Weezer was when my friend in like first or second grade, he invited me over and he said, "You got to watch this music video." And it was them dancing in Happy Days. And I was like, oh, the connection to music and pop art is so, so important. And yeah, it was cool. Tell me about that movie, though. So you, one day you're just like, this band is, it's it.
Yeah, when I was watching the movie, when we get to the song, I'll say which song it is, but the song's very catchy and very mellow, and I'm a big fan of, like, easy listening, but I also am a fan when, like, you have, like, the open strumming and, like, mm-hmm. a bunch of downstrokes. I like that kind of music that just kind of gets you hyped.
Yeah.
And they do a good thing with their music where they have a little bit of, like, this song's very easy listening and, like, you're vibing, you're having a good time. But then when you listen to the words, it's also, like, it's about a breakup. And mm-hmm. I actually saw them live a couple years ago. It was, like, a super cool, like, it was him, Uncle Cracker, there was another band there that was really awesome. My mom wanted to go because she loves Mark McGrath, thinks he's the hottest thing ever, and they're like closer in age than I am to him, so she was like, oh, and I'm like, Mom, relax.
She's like, I got the real chance.
Yeah, she's
McGrath.
Like, I got this. My dad's just like, oh my god, okay, fine, whatever. My dad was at the concert, we were all like in the mm-hmm. front row, we're like, yeah. But he was actually he was talking about how this is about a breakup, and he was like telling the story about it, and it's mm-hmm. really interesting, like, hearing, like, the songs that I've listened to for forever,
yeah.
seeing them live, and then actually, like, being like, oh yeah, this is about this, or this is about that.
Huh.
So interesting.
Now, are you a person who listens to more of the lyrics or the melodies of songs?
The melody catches my attention, mm-hmm. and then once I, like, get the melody, I dive in deep with the lyrics. I'll listen to the same song on repeat for hours and hours and hours, and my brother hates it. He'll be like, can we change the song? I'm like, no! I'm trying to learn all the lyrics, because I like learning the lyrics by listening. Mm-hmm. I can read them, but I like, once I figure it out, I'm like, oh, I got that just by listening it to so much.
Yeah. And it means more if it just kind of sinks into you. I mean, that's the beauty of music. There's something about it that just connects in a different kind of synapse in your brain where you're like, wow, I can really feel what this singer was going through.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So you saw them live. Where'd you see them live for the first time?
I don't really remember. It was in Chicago, but it was like on the side. It was like a lakeside type thing. It was like a Ravinia style where you just take lawn chairs and you sit out on the lawn.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't at Ravinia. But it was super cool. It was about maybe 5 or 6 years ago.
Okay.
So I'm actually really excited I got to see them because, like, not that long in April, it came out that he's actually going deaf, Mark McGrath.
Yeah, you had mentioned that. So Mark McGrath is going deaf, which is kind of sad. But
sad.
You think that more rock stars would be going deaf, but why is it still shocking when we're like, oh, a guy who stood next to an amplifier all day is now going deaf?
Really,
so do you have any insight into that?
Not really. I mean, it makes all the sense in the world because, like, what I was telling you probably off the podcast was their albums before this album was released and even some of their stuff later on in their career, they have so many different sounds. They're mm-hmm. either super intense, hardcore rock sounds, like, or really grungy kind of sounds mixed with this easy listening. So when you listen to, like, When It's Over, like, the other songs that we're going to be listening to, it's, mm-hmm. like, very mellow. You're like, he's going deaf from just, like, super mellow, like, vibey, beachy stuff. But then when you go back into their later days, it's just like, oh, this is, like, super hardcore and, like, super exciting and, like, very loud and, like, bassy. So it makes sense when you, like, know the history of, like, their music, but
it's a little bit more punk rock than we think, because there's a lot of preconceived notions about Sugar Ray. He actually was quoted, I'm looking right here online at ET Online, his old stomping grounds, I guess you could say, I'm deaf now, I cannot hear anymore. It's years and years of being on the road with 2 feet in front of cymbals and drums, so high frequencies I can't hear anymore. I'm listening to people and they tell me their names, and I can't hear it anymore.
That's so sad.
It's so sad. It actually reminds me of this viral video that I wanted to talk about. I'll dive into it with this next song, Under the Sun, playing underneath us, which is the third song on the album. But do you remember that music or that viral video when Mark McGrath, his hearing was at an all-time high, I guess, they shouted out Sugar Gay to him, and they said, hey, Sugar Gay, and he stopped and he goes, he was signing autographs, and he goes, who called me that, and looked for this guy and, like, roughed him up, and that was like a big, do you remember seeing that?
No, I didn't know that. That is, it makes sense.
He had a temper back in the day.
Yeah, when you have that lifestyle, that rock star lifestyle, I feel like you're just like, oh yeah, like, I'm tough. But he's like, he was a mega star. Like, they sold millions and millions of albums. And then it's just interesting to see how, like, this music of that time, like, late 90s, early 2000s, like, this was this kind of the sound. Like, Weezer has this kind of sound, too.
Yeah.
So it's interesting to see how, like, the sounds changed within the era. Like, now it's a lot of rap and a lot of overproduced sound, mm-hmm. whereas this is more, like, melodic and there's actual melodies and it makes sense and things connect and the drums over here also make sense with the guitars over there instead of like a pre-produced beat or a pre-produced strumming pattern.
That's, you're spot on with that. There's something about 90s music and well put together 90s music that stands this test of time. I mean, this song right here could easily be a 2019 Weezer song and no one would even notice.
Seriously though, and I think
a
lot of
enjoying this, to be honest.
Right, yeah, this song's awesome. Mm-hmm. But like a lot of things I think happened, but even back in the 90s and with Sugar Ray, voices are a thing. Mm-hmm. Like if somebody has a very unique voice, it stands out a lot. Like for me, like I like their sound because I have a lower register for a girl, mm-hmm. so I can sing along to their songs easily without it being like too high pitched. Right? But and he has like a very unique, like it's like a simple voice, you know, it's not like outstanding, like crazy different like in Weezer. You know?
Like you wouldn't go to an open mic and see Mark McGrath and be like, that guy's gonna make it as a rock star one day.
He can sing so well. Mm-hmm. It's just like, you know, your average like hanging out. But it's like, it rolls, it fits with the tunes.
They're chill, they're really chill dudes. I mean, they're an American rock band, grew up around Newport Beach, California, originally forming in 1986 with a heavier new metal style of music, which you had mentioned before, and achieved mainstream popularity in 1997 with that amazing, at the time, now I can just look back with it with a little bit of tongue in cheek, but Fly, when it came out and had that hip hop kind of vibe with it, it was the song to go to. I just want to fly.
Yeah, that song's so cool, and the music video is really unique too, because in the music video, if you haven't seen it, for those of you who are listening, or for Michael, he's like walking on the walls and stuff. It's in like one of those, have you seen that?
I just remember the pool a lot. Was there a pool?
Yeah, there's like
scene?
A pool, there's like them driving through like a jungle looking thing.
Okay.
It's very like unique and different and kind of weird, but that was what caught my eye with Fly. So
I have to go back and look at that. So he's walking around like a fly. Is the whole thing like supposed to be about, like, do you have any insight into what the song was about?
No idea. I think I read somewhere where I Just Want to Fly, people took that as like a drug reference.
But he
like came out and was like, no, it's not a drug reference, it's just like feeling the vibes or something along those lines, where people took it a different way. And he was like angry. He was like, no, it's not that, it's this, whatever that this was. But I
would
love reading that.
Wouldn't it be crazy if it was just like a dedication to the movie The Fly with Jeff Goldblum from the 1970s 80s? He was like, no, it was about
Jeff Goldblum, please.
All the songs that I wrote over the last 20 years are a Goldblum based. You need to understand that about Mark McGrath.
Please.
This next song is I really enjoyed Under the Sun.
That's a good one. Yeah, it's very mellow. It's like,
this is what I was worried about. So my friend Kelly Ovanek, we could take 2 seconds to talk about her real quick. She is the biggest Sugar Ray fan that I've ever met. She had the license plate, the McGrath's Girl license plate. and all the time, she had magnets in her locker of all the members of the band. And it was funny because nobody knew any other member besides Mark McGrath.
Oh, yeah, I have no idea who the other guys are. So I mean, I recognize them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, but I mean, but if you just saw them on the street, you wouldn't know the members. So I have the list of their names. Like, would you know that Rodney Shepherd looked like?
No, I could not pick it out.
What about Christian Etard?
Nope, got it.
Dean Butterworth?
Oh, that's awesome. Why isn't he more famous just from the last name?
Well, he is. He's actually related to Mrs.
Butterworth?
Yeah.
It's his mom.
But it's just like, you wouldn't know those names. The past members, actually, there was a lot of people that went through this band. Stan Frazier, Murphy Courageous, DJ Homicide, AJ, Al Keith, Jesse Bonavia, and Justin Bivonia. Bivona? I'm like, now I'm just thinking Bona Beef at the moment. But this, I'm saying their name is very wrong. But they were all in the band. Lots of turnover, but I would not really recognize anybody besides Mark McGrath.
You usually can kind of sometimes tell when people get new band members because the sound changes. But I guess their sound is changing and like throughout the album, so it's hard to pinpoint what their real sound is when they have like
so much.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Good point. This next song, Satellites. Ooh, this is another good start to it. You mentioned you like a lot of those open chords, and they have a lot of that great acoustic guitar in this album, which is so inviting.
This band, actually, I don't play the guitar. Mm-hmm. I've attempted many a times and I've given up because...
Oh, why?
I don't know what. I just...
What's holding you back?
I don't know. I think I don't get bored. I just want to be good right away.
Oh, see, that's the mistake.
I, like I learned how to play more than words, and I try to learn. There's a song that's not in this album.
By Extreme?
Yeah.
That's a kick-ass song.
That's easy-ish, mm-hmm. but I can't move my hands fast enough, and what was stopping me was a strumming pattern.
Oh, okay.
It was like down, down, up, down. I don't remember it, but I sat in my room for like 2 hours just doing the strumming pattern of what a different song would be. Mm-hmm. But actually, a song that's not on this album, it's called Someday by Sugar Ray. I tried to learn that one. Because it felt like it would be easy.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't. But I attempted. At least I tried.
Yeah? What was the first band that you listened to when you wanted to pick up the guitar? Was it Extreme, More Than Words?
It probably was.
That's a great song.
It's a good song. It's in Love Guru in the beginning.
I like your... Maybe we should do a podcast where we just look back at all the movies.
Yeah.
Like Scooby-Doo, Love Guru, The Fly. There's a lot of great movies that are
floating
around.
For me, like, a lot of music connections come from movies. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about it, like, when we were producing, how you're like, I don't get to watch a lot of movies. Mm-hmm. Or, you don't get to sit down. And I was like, yeah. It's like, I love watching movies, but I don't get to, like, sit down and actually, like not think of anything else and actually watch a movie.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was back in high school and even like beginning of college, that's all I would do. I'd like hang out with my friends, but then I'm like, oh, I'm gonna go watch this movie or like rewatch something. And I'm a big fan of like I'm a younger human being. I'm 22, mm-hmm. so I love watching like the older movies, quote unquote,
okay.
of like the early 90s to like mid 90s.
Oh God, are you saying Love Guru is an old movie?
No, Love Guru is more recent, but like I love all the American Pie movies, and that's like later 90s, early 2000s, and like Clueless, I'm pretty sure that's like late 80s, and stuff like that, or like early 90s. But I like watching the coming of age, quote unquote, movies where it's like people in high school or like people in college, and a lot of the music is this style of music where it's a lot of more like guitar based and like electric guitar sounding or like acoustic sounding.
Interesting, because quick shout out again to Krista, who's an engineer here at WGN Radio. She loves coming of age movies as well. Stand By Me, she said, is a good
one.
I've
never seen that one. It's on my list. I have a whole list of movies and I'm like trying to slowly go through because I rewatch a lot of movies.
Mm-hmm.
Like I've seen Clueless a million times.
Yeah.
I rewatched Dirty Dancing the other day a million. Like, I've seen it so many times. I just have to branch out and actually like watch new movies.
Yeah, you know what? It's funny because with movies, you try to be as hip as you can be, and you'll go out like on a first date with somebody or something, and they're like, "What's your favorite movie?" And you always need to say something like really weird. You're like, "I don't know, like The Royal Tenenbaums," or you know, like some Wes Anderson
something
movie.
Something cool where they're something like, hip.
"Oh, I love like you know, Pulp Fiction is always a good go-to, and I do love that movie." But in all fairness, I mean, to be honest, I love Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure and Bogus Journey. those are like my favorite movies. And like John Wick. I'll like the first John Wick.
Awesome.
But you can't just say that.
I know, because then they're just like generic. Like I finally just watched Hot Tub Time Machine and like that whole soundtrack is awesome because it's all Motley Crue songs.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah, so it's just like, oh, this is so cool.
But you were mentioning the fact that there's a lot of great music in those 90s movies, which is so true, because I didn't even think about the fact that Blink-182, one of my favorite bands of all time, is in American Pie. I totally forgot about that.
Oh yeah, they're like actually physically are in the movie. They're like watching the tape of Nadia, whatever's going on.
During a band practice.
Yeah, yeah.
And then a lot of their music is featured in that as well. And soundtracks, before we had Netflix and before we had Best Buy and all the Sam Goody places went to hell and it just disappeared when Spotify and stuff came around. Soundtracks were so, so important. I mean, there were multiple times when a soundtrack for a movie would be the number one album in the country. I mean,
yeah, that's so true. Like when Shrek came out, that whole soundtrack, like my mom bought it.
Shout out Shrek.
Yeah, shout out to Shrek. Mike Myers, that's what
I mean, Smash Mouth, like it had a resurgence because of Shrek.
So true. It's just like it's so interesting to see how the times have evolved. Because now I feel like you don't really think about a soundtrack.
Yeah.
Like, I could look up a soundtrack to a movie and try to figure out a song, and they won't even have them listed on, like, the Wikipedias or anything like that.
Yeah.
So then you have to, like, sit there with your phone and try to record it into your phone to see if it'll catch what the song is. And it's so much work.
You're Shazamming everything left and right.
Like,
you're like a freaking superhero with, you're like, Shazam,
yeah, and like,
Shazam,
what is this?
Shazam.
Yes. So, that's, I listen, like, when I watch movies, I do listen for a lot of music, because the movies I watch, they have that style of music. Like, Blink-182, I love Blink-182, it's awesome.
Same.
It's timeless.
Mm-hmm. High five to that. The fact that you refer to Blink-182 as timeless, because I get some guff sometimes for my love for Blink-182. They were the reason, I mean, besides, of course, Eric Clapton and the Beatles and everything, that I learned learned how to play the guitar. The first few songs that I learned were Weezer and Blink-182. And I remember Blink-182's All the Small Things. I remember when that was like the most difficult song to play.
And it's like when you see these performers, like even with Sugar Ray, like there are people that claim that they don't know how to make music. They just do it for fun. That's kind of their area. They're like, man, we make shitty punk rock. Like Blink always says, it's just like crappy songs. So when you see that, you're like, well, I can make crappy music. And then you try and you're like, oh, this sounds cool or this sounds bad. Let's try to fix that. And like that's kind of the same with Sugar Ray. Like both those bands got super lucky where the music isn't crappy at all. It's amazing. And they somehow just made it work. And it just becomes something even bigger than that.
I would have loved to seen early Sugar Ray, you know, just waiting and waiting for their time for fame. And that brings us to our next song, Waiting by Sugar Ray.
Waiting for
A slower song.
Yeah, right?
Okay. Does it say slow the entire time, too?
Kind of, yeah. It's like a mellower vibe.
You know, when I host the show Sound Sessions and I ask these artists all these questions about when they first started out, I love hearing the stories about when they were playing the open mic nights and trying to figure out what their sound would be because it's always so different. And thinking about Mark McGrath, like trying to work on the first forms of Fly or Waiting, would have been just a cool experience because it's like, how do you create this kind of sound and build this band of all these members? I mean, Buttersworth and Shepherd and and it's just interesting to see how a band comes together. And I think that right place, right time, this was their moment with this album and the things that they were doing in the 90s.
This was really, I think this was their breakout album. Like, they had Fly, which was before this album, and they had Someday, which was also before this album. And those were kind of like their gateway into, like, the limelight. And then when this album came out, they had a bunch of hits on it. Like, Once Over, you know, Answer the Phone is a big hit. There's a couple songs coming up that were really big hits. And I just think it's all about, like, the process. Like, you see what works, what doesn't work. And I always find it so interesting when you hear a performer talk about, like, their most famous song, and they hate it. Like, they were like, I never liked that song. Like, Jesse's Girl, he hates that song. He always talks about how much he does not. It's not my favorite song. Like, I don't understand. He's like, I'll play it. I know people love it, but, like, it's not my favorite song. That was not the song that I thought was going to be the breakout song on the album.
Yeah. What do you think about, like, Fountains of Wayne, who was an amazing band, like, from the early 90s on, putting out music for consistently for over 20 years, and then their hit song is Stacy's Mom?
Yeah.
I mean, that's, like, this most simple song. And I'm sure that isn't one of their, like, go-to. It's like, he probably wrote a lot of songs about his cat that passed away or, like, his broken heart. And then he just writes one song about somebody's mom.
Yeah, that probably took him maybe a couple of weeks or something. Yeah, it is so interesting to like, really dive into a performer's brain and mindset when they're creating something. Because you can tell, like, I know who's a really good guy that's playing with the Grateful Dead right now? I can't think of it.
John Mayer?
Yeah, John Mayer. So, like, I know he doesn't like a lot of his popular songs. Like, he likes them because that's how he got to work. That's what is allowing him to make more complex music involving the guitar and doing, like, really long solos that are really complex and intricate.
Yeah.
But it's like the fan base, people that don't understand music. Like, I don't know how to read sheet music. I don't know how to do any of that. Like, you do.
I do not know how to read sheet music.
You just know how to play.
I know how to play and listen to it.
I find it so interesting how people learn differently. But, like, you understand the guitar. Like, you understand if it looks difficult. Like, you know if it's hard to play.
Yeah.
Just from hearing it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't know. Like, everything sounds hard to me. So, like,
okay,
for somebody who understands music a little better than, like, an average listener, like, I enjoy the simple music. I know my boyfriend, when he watches somebody play the guitar or sees something super intense, like super different, he loves that song the most because he knows how hard it is for them to make that and create that and how much time it took and how much thought went into it. Whereas, like me, I'm like, oh, this song sounds cool. I like the lyrics. And he's just like, yeah, it's cool. But, like, if you listen to this and, like, really listen to all the notes that are being placed and where they're being placed, you're like, you have more appreciation for what's happening.
That's a good point. And, you know, not shitting on Sugar Ray at the moment, but... or any of these bands I'm about to bring up, but bands like Radiohead and these the bands, well, mainly Radiohead, I guess I could mention, but people are so into them. And I like the simple songs from them. I like Karma Police and I like Creep. And I don't like anything else that they put out.
Whatever their popular ones are, you're like, yeah, it's the one. Like, that's kind of like that one band that sings like, oh, man, I'm lost. I lost it. I'm going to go see them live because I think it's hilarious. It'll come to me.
ICP, Insane Clown Posse.
No, it's not them. I'm trying to think. It'll come to me. It's like totally far gone, but it'll hit me.
Chumbawamba?
No, but that's the only song
I would see them too. Like that was a great album.
Just to see
them,
yeah, right. You just like that one song. Like for me, I guess a good. This is not the band that I'm thinking of, but like for me, like Jimmy Eat World.
Yes.
I only know a couple of their songs, but like I know people who are huge fans of them and like know all their new stuff and like a lot of their older stuff. That
wow, new stuff.
Yeah, they have like a new album. Not like new, but like
that's
newer.
Pretty awesome. Yeah,
but like I don't know any. I just know like. The middle.
Yeah, the middle.
I think that's all I got. There's like that Hear You Me or something.
Oh, Hear You Me is a really good one too. Yeah, so Sweetness.
Yeah, that is. Yeah, that one, I think one of their newer ones, maybe.
No, that was like their first hit.
Oh, never mind that. Yeah. So that's all I got. Those are the only three that I know.
But people are very dedicated to those bands. And it's the same way, you know, I didn't really flesh out my thought about Radiohead before people start hating on me and sending me angry letters, which you can do at Sound Sessions Pod. Or Sound Sesh Pod on Twitter or Sound Sessions Podcast at gmail.com. Send them anytime. But Radiohead, like, they have so much folklore behind their band now that's why people are into them. They aren't even about the songs anymore. It's about, he was going through this when he wrote this song or he was going through that. And to be honest, I kind of find that very interesting too. Sugar Ray, I didn't know Mark McGrath had a really hard time going through drugs and alcohol. Mm-hmm. And I was like, man, he was writing all this happy music when he was just getting high and flying, as they say.
You're right. It's so interesting when you really like figure out a person and then, or like when you find out somebody's like super, super depressed and you're like, whoa, never would have even thought that or anything. Or like you find out that they're like going to rehab and like this whole time when they were writing this album and you're like, wait a minute, they were in rehab.
Yeah.
That whole time, and this beautiful piece of music came out of that. It's like, this is so interesting how just things happen.
Good point. I mean, look at the Beach Boys, which I wish somebody would say that they want to do a Beach Boys album because I'd love to dive into the mind of Brian Wilson for a few minutes. I mean, him, the happiest song in the world, he's singing about surfing and everything, and then he was going through severe depression and severe drug problems, and it's crazy.
It is so crazy. I thought of it. It's Papa Roach.
Papa Roach!
Where it's like one of those where you, like, I'm going to see him with my brother.
Yes.
I got those tickets for him for Christmas because every, like, we share a Spotify account.
Mm-hmm.
So every time I'm, like, listening to music, he'll hop on and put, cut my life into pieces.
Just
I'm like,
every time you.
Literally every time I'm on and I'm just like, John. So then I bought those tickets and I'm really interested to see, like, what other, because I know two songs, Scars and then Last Resort.
Oh, yeah, those are the only two that I know, too.
Yeah, so it's
all about cutting. It's like Scars, cutting life into pieces.
Yeah, so I'm interested to see what the fan base is going to be.
Yeah, they really want to make those bands ours, you know?
Yeah.
And that's their next song, which is ours. Do you like what I did there, Ashley?
Yeah, I like the waiting you did that too. You did this to ours. You really just slip them in there.
There's multiple bad puns that'll be made in this episode. So
I love puns.
Just be ready
follow
to
me
go.
On Instagram. You know that all my captions are puns.
Where can we follow you on Instagram? What's your Instagram?
Lil Beeski. So LIL_BESKI.
Lil Beeski.
Lil Beeski.
Okay, see, that's why I was having trouble tagging you earlier on the podcast. Makes sense. Now, this is a cool thing that Sugar Ray does, is they put out these songs that are so different from each other. Ours is... The music was hella banging. Wow. Like, still add that great, funky DJ beat that they got. Really SoCal vibe with their songs. But it's just connected, melodic, almost female-driven vocals where it could be a Spice Girls song. It could be a Papa Roach song. Could be Sugar Ray's. I don't know why I threw Papa Roach in there, but you know what I mean, right?
Papa Roach is awesome. They might be. I'm excited to see what their even other songs are. But yeah, for real, like when you really listen to the album front to back, which I've done multiple times because I do own the CD, but couldn't find it. I was gonna bring it, but you just take the ride with them.
Yeah.
You know how like some albums you're listening to a song and a lot of them sound very similar. Like more so nowadays, a lot of the songs have the same frame, same pattern, same, it's not the same music necessarily, but it's the same style, like this happens, same this thing, this happens, whereas like for them, I feel like they kind of, they have the same thing for themselves, mm-hmm. but they put you on your toes in the sense of musically, how they place the music, like where's the yeah. bridge, where's the chorus, where's this solo going to come in? Oh, then it changes into a little bit of a funky little rap thing going on, or
yeah.
there's some weird beat happening over here, so it's very interesting, and I feel like a lot of people I know, like myself included, you don't really think of Sugar Ray as like, for me, I never thought of Sugar Ray as like, this band is awesome, like this band is like,
yeah,
so
the end
good.
All be all.
Yeah, it's
to
like
all
they do this. It's like one of those bands that just kind of is underrated because
they are underrated. They and listening to this album more and more, this brings me back to just summer days in McHenry, Illinois, driving with
the windows down,
air flowing, going on my way to Dairy Queen.
Yeah, it really, it's a very summery. Like they're from California, you said.
Yeah,
it's just like a very summery SoCal. Hanging out vibe, just like you're hanging out with your friends. It's just a very
It's
happy,
like you're hanging out with your friends. That's yeah. a good way to look at the band Sugar Ray, because that's what it sounds like. And I love this song because it kind of walks you through a narrative. And we were listening, you can kind of hear the lyrics over our talking, but he was talking about meeting a girl and what he was going through with her, with a relationship with her, and they take you through like a story. It's like we met, then this happened, then this, and I love how they structure songs like that. Because as a songwriter, not a good songwriter, but I do try to tell stories in my music, and Mark McGrath is good at that, and from what I can tell, I think that he wrote all the lyrics, I believe. Wait,
yeah, I think you might be correct, because I believe when they started to quote-unquote fall apart is when he started taking on other projects. Like,
did you just pun us up right there with Fall Apart? Is there a song called Fall Apart?
Yeah, there is actually. There is a song called Fall Apart. I thought that was next. I was like, that was
when
unplanned.
When it falls.
Yeah, that's,
okay.
I think that's on this album, yeah.
Oh, man, we got to bring that up
pretty sure it might not be, but that is a good one. That is a song on there.
It is a song on there. It's not on this album.
No,
but,
yeah, it's
you know, maybe
one.
We should just find it.
Just play
okay,
it.
Okay, I'm
there.
Sorry to interrupt you. Go
no,
ahead.
No, it's okay. But, like, what I was saying, when their band started to, like, fall apart is when he started taking on more projects. Like, he was on many shows. Like, he mm-hmm. was the host of many, like, karaoke shows. He did Sharknado oh. 2 and 3.
Wow.
Which is
really?
Yeah, he was in Sharknado 2 and 3. Not the first one, which I don't know. But, and those are like fairly recent, I
yeah.
guess, like 2013, 14-ish era, which is fairly recent.
Yeah, and you know what? He's also very down-to-earth, Mark McGrath. I mean, we could dive into the folklore of him, I guess, for a second. And, you know, I don't think he's sorry now or oh, sorry then or sorry ever. Let's go to this next song, Sorry Now.
This song is very interesting because when I first listened to this album, I did not like it.
Mm-hmm.
But the more I started listening to the album and like sometimes you just put it on in the background and you let the music run, you don't think about it.
Because yeah.
like, there are songs on here that I like more than others, obviously. But then when like I'm listening to it, I'm like, wait, what song is this one? And then I look at the title, I'm like, oh, it's this one that I probably never gave a chance. Like I just like stopped in the beginning.
Oh, yeah. I know this. This is written.
I'm pretty
this
sure this is
like
absurd.
This has been probably in the background of multiple TV shows.
Definitely. It has like that music of like the montage or like the slow pan into like
mm-hmm. a party scene.
Yeah, right?
Like there's like beer cans on the ground
yeah.
and it's just like kicking Sorry Now. Yeah,
yeah, and you like can totally just feel like it moving through the party and that in the background.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it does have that sound.
You know, isn't it funny how songs do that to our brains where we can put them in a place and a time and see them happening in a movie? Like, where does that come from as far as
know.
Music
I always
goes?
Wonder that because my friend and I, Megan, anytime we do anything, or my brother, who he has a marketing brain. He's not necessarily, like, he's a creative type, but mm-hmm. he's not, like, he doesn't do, like, he doesn't make music. He's not, like, an artsy person.
Yeah.
He's, like, a like an animal person and like a marketing and like strategic type of deal. But I know like for him and I, like something will happen and we'll do like an aside. You know, have you ever done that where you're talking to somebody and then you like look at the pretend camera away from you? Have you ever done that?
Wait, you Jim Halpert in the middle of a conversation?
Have you ever done that?
No, could you give me an example of what that even means?
Yeah, like if you said, I don't even know, like if you were talking to me and I was like talking to you and you said something that was like, not insulting, but like jokingly, like ha ha ha, and I just go like look at the camera and just pretend like my brother and I do that all the time, and it's so embarrassing because I'll catch him doing it to like we could just like doing a little aside, or like we'll make a joke where we're like talking about like changing the song in like a car, and he's like, you see the camera pan out behind the car, and your body flies out like as a joking thing from like a movie. So I just find it interesting. Like my friend and I do it all the time, where we're like, well, what if this happened in real life as if it was a movie? Like this is where the camera would be. It's so weird, because it's just like when you have that creative brain, you're just constantly like, oh, this would work really well if this happened, or like this, or this.
No, you have like an improvisational brain almost, because there were many times when I'd be hanging out with my friends and I'd say, I'd like do a soliloquy or a scene about them. Often happens, and I didn't notice I was doing it until somebody that I didn't know asked me what the hell I was talking about, because we were talking about like they were going into a new like company position or something like that. And then she said that she tripped and fell. And then I'm like, yeah. And then you tripped and fell and you're... And then the boss was like, hey, oh, yeah, what the heck? Why'd you slip on that banana peel, Julie? And Julie's like, oh, I don't know. And then he totally, like, jumped out the window.
Yeah,
you and she's just, like, what are you talking about? No, none of that happened.
You're like, no, you don't get it. Yeah. You don't get it. I'm painting a scene.
Yeah, you're in the scene that I just made up. And they weren't feeling it.
Yeah, well, like, that's the other thing. It's just, like, I feel like everyone that we work with, since we're all, like, creative types, everybody does bits.
Yeah.
Like, you meet people where, like, they'll say something, and then you play off their bit, and then you're both doing, like, a scene where people think it's real, but you're just like, no, we're both totally kidding. Like, John DeCoste, he does it all the time, where, like, you play off his bit, and it's like you have this understanding, like, we're doing a scene, but we're not, like, we're having a conversation, but it's, like, a fun little back-and-forth banter type situation.
Yeah.
So it's just interesting to see, like, you'll meet people where you'll kind of, like, set them up for a bit, like, and they just don't get it. They're, like, too serious or too literal, or they don't quite understand what you're going for, and they're like, oh, really? And you're like, no, you don't understand.
Oh,
like,
we're just trying to, happens.
We're just trying to do this bit here. I'm just trying to set you up for some fun banter.
How good is it, though, when you meet somebody brand new and they fall right into the
Yeah,
bed,
and you're just like, oh my God, you're just like, this is awesome. We're going to be great friends.
I love it when like when somebody references a very obscure movie, and then you're just like, you lock right in, and you're like, oh my gosh. I had a guy that I worked with at Citibank, and I'm sorry for diverting from this chagrin talk at this moment. I worked at a bank, and this guy did, he was talking, we were looking for a little key, and he goes, oh, like a little refrigerator that you need to open up with a key. And I'm like, Home Alone 2. I'm like, you are awesome. And it's like little things like that.
Don't you just hate when somebody doesn't get it and there's like three of you and like the two others don't get it. And you're like,
oh.
You're like, they think I'm weird now.
It's wasted comedy gold.
I know.
And you just sit there and you're like, gah.
I love saying that. I love being like, oh, it's comedy gold. Because like my friends and I will play off and be like, it's like comedy silver. It wasn't quite gold. But
it's a comedy foil.
Yeah, you're
almost.
Close.
You
know,
you almost made it there. That's like a sedimentary rock of comedy. Boring. But what I was going to say, Mark McGrath has the same kind of like humbling, like not setting the bar too high personality, which makes him such a relatable figure and why he has so many fans. He put out an album and he was quoted as saying, listen, you know, I know people aren't sitting on the edge of their seats waiting for a Sugary album, but that wasn't the point. About his own album that he was promoting to somebody who was interviewing him.
That is so awesome when people are just kind of like, I'm making this for me, and if you like it, that's awesome. I'm not trying to necessarily please you.
Yeah.
But it's like, this is my project. This is for me, and it is for you to enjoy, but if you don't, then that's fine.
Yeah. And you just don't give a shit.
Yeah, you're like,
I think that's the best part. All right, let's go to the next song real quick. Stay On with Nick Hexum.
This song's really cool. This song is one of those songs, like, you play it in the background, like, I'm an odd bird. When I read, I have to like listen to something, or it's so faint where you don't even know it's there, but like you know it's happening. Like you'll like be reading and then you'll check out and you'll be like, wait a minute, I've been listening to this song on repeat. This is one of those songs for me where I've done that, where I was like doing homework or like, like I don't even know, like reading an article or reading something, and then I'm like, oh yeah, this song's happening, and then like you finish the chapter and you put down the book and you turn up the music and you're like, oh yeah. This song also helped me get through many traffic jams. I've played the song on repeat because like when you're in traffic, you're just either you're just like, all right, I'm just stuck, or you're just pissed off the whole time.
Yeah,
you're like, oh, I'm just stopping and going. And
you're
this
either a bowl of Jello or you're like an angry bowl of Jello.
Oh yeah, you're just a bowl of Jello. You know, but like it's so true. You're just like, oh, you can't do anything. You can't go anywhere. You can't get out of your car. You're just stuck. And this song is many like this is the song I put on when I'm driving and I'm like irritated with the road and people. I'm just like. Because you can't, you're listening to this, you can't be upset.
No, you can't. This is the most SoCal song, I think, on the album with a tying in of Nick Hexum, who is the lead singer of 311. And it sounds like a 311 song, but two of the most popular, like, SoCal bands, I guess, besides, like, Sublime, Sugar Ray, 311. You can just feel the funky tropical vibes that you mentioned. That how it starts off. Remember, flashback to Answer the Phone, which is a hard-hitting, down-driven punk rock song. And going into this, which is these tropical vibes, it feels like I'm in freaking the Caribbean.
Yeah, right.
Or something
don't you feel like you need just like a tall beer or something, like a tropical drink in your
ooh,
hand?
Yeah.
You're just sitting on the beach and you're like, yeah, all right. This is the band that's playing over by the bar. You're like, oh, who are these guys? It's just very mellow.
Is this what you transport yourself into when you're in traffic at
definitely.
The time?
I'm like, I'm not in traffic in Illinois. I'm in traffic in nowhere.
Wait,
I'm,
why are you still in traffic?
Yeah, I don't know. I was like, wait a minute. I don't want to be in traffic. I'm on a beach.
You're still
I'm in sitting on a beach, my eyes are closed.
drinking like a Mai Tai
in traffic. Yeah, that's my happy place.
Okay.
Traffic.
I feel you. All right, let's dive into the next song real quick. I love that Stay On song because it's such a pretty, pretty and well put together song. Words to Me is our next song.
This is my favorite song by them in general.
Really?
Because this is the song that's actually in the Scooby-Doo movie.
Okay. The aforementioned Scooby-Doo movie.
Yeah. And I don't know. I just think it's highly quotable.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even...
What do you mean by quotable?
Like, the lyrics... Like, if you... Like, you could pick off a little version of the lyrics and, like... It like, you can use it in any way of your life. Like, right now I'm drawing a blank on some of the lyrics, but, like... If you really, like, sat down and listened to them, and you're like, oh, yeah, this makes sense. Like, oh, yeah. I don't know. It's just like you could take little things here and there. But this is in the movie, and this was actually, like, the first song that I ever, like... listen to. Like, I knew Fly, because I had one of those, like, Now CDs. Do you remember those? I'm pretty sure they still make
them. Oh, my gosh. Now CD. I had the first Now CD back in the day.
It was, okay, I wanted to look this up, but I didn't. But was All the Small Things on the first Now CD? Do you remember?
I think What's My Age Again was on the first one, because it was What's My Age Again, Bills, 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 Fastball's The Way. Like those kind of songs, early
90s. Yeah, yeah, because I had a Now CD and All the Small Things was on it, and so was Fly. So, like, I guess technically the first song I heard was Fly, but I didn't know it was Sugar Ray until later on in life when I was like, oh my god, wait a minute, I know this song. Why do I know this song? And then, like, it registers, like, oh yeah, it was because of this Now CD that my mom bought me when I was, like, 6 or 7.
Yeah. Wait, so you had the first Now CD? Wait, actually.
I don't know if it was the first one, but it was on a Now CD or, like, one of those. It wasn't Kids Bop. It wasn't one of those things. But this, not this song, the Fly one. Like, I just want to fly. That one, they're one of their popular ones.
Yeah.
Two popular ones.
You know what? I stand corrected. Blink-182 is not even on the first Now CD. It's Janet Jackson, Backstreet Boys, Fastball, Harvey Danger, Flagpole, Sitta, Spice Girls, Casey and JoJo, All Saints, Tonic, Hanson, Zoot Suit Riot,
these
Barbie
like
Girl, Karma
early
Police.
Early 90s, yeah, or like middle 90s.
Holy vey.
Holy moly.
Man, what a good time for music.
Now so, CDs are, on, like, that, like when you want to go back and travel back into your old times or whatever, like your earlier music, Now CDs are the way to do it because they just have a...
They're the Spotify playlists.
Yeah, that's
of
true.
Their time, and now Spotify is all over. And they're, you know what? It's funny to see artists thank Spotify for getting put on these playlists, because are they that popular? I mean, to be honest, I'm a music guy and I love music, but I'm kind of disconnected from Spotify playlists. Yeah, is that how people find music nowadays?
I think a lot of people find music from their Discover, because I know I listen to my Discover from time to time, but sometimes I get aggravated because sometimes you just want to sing a song that you know.
Yeah.
And you go to your Discover and it's like, I have to be in a mood to find songs. I rarely go to playlist unless I'm like, I get the aux at a party, because my type of music yeah, it's awesome, but like for me, the music I listen to, not a lot of people listen to it. Like of my friend group, my friends listen to like a lot of rap and like overproduced kind of things, which I do enjoy. Like I don't hate on it, but like songs I listen to are like a lot of old school rock from like the 60s, 70s, and 80s.
Yeah,
and, like,
good music.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, exactly, good music. But like I always feel awkward when I get the aux, because then I'm like, oh my god, are they gonna So then I go to the, like the playlists that are like pre-made, or it's like songs to sing in the car, and I'm like, eh, I'm just gonna play this. We all know these songs.
I'm the same way. Like I remember getting, when I would get the aux, I'd be like, oh shit, I don't know why, because I know that they won't like Weezer B-sides or something, and I'm like, I'm gonna look like a weirdo if I put on my real music. So I just like go to Kesha, like the radio station.
Like people that they know, you're like, oh, we can all just jam. Like I can live with this. It's fine.
Yeah, it's all good. It's all good. So you said that was the song, your favorite song by them, because that was the first song you ever heard.
Yeah, that was
Sugar
like
Ray.
The first one that I fully went in and listened to because it was in the movie, and I was like, this song's really cool. And then like, we just, like it just was like a gradual build. But that was the first song that I bought on iTunes when people still did that.
Yeah. I remember those days.
Right, when you actually paid money.
That was a stupid idea. Like, going back, it's like, oh, we're paying music, you know, we're giving money to the artists, and nobody really knew. It was all just a scam. Yeah. It still is a scam.
Yeah, exactly. But you can still buy music, but nobody does it anymore because of Spotify. You have the option, so why?
The best thing to do is go to the shows and buy their vinyls and stuff.
Like the shirts. Or even their albums, when you just see them, like, I bought the Blink album, the California one.
Oh, really?
Yeah, when it first came out, because I was like, yeah.
That's an amazing album. What do you think about Blink, again, sidebar from the Sugar Ray for the moment. What do you think of Blink-182 and them taking on Matt Skiba as the lead singer instead of Tom?
It makes me sad, because I loved, like, Tom's voice really was Blink. Mm-hmm. It's his band. He still owns the rights to it all.
Yeah.
So it's just, like, it's hard to feel that, like, to change the singer. But I think Matt's trying to do what he can to help improve the band. And you can tell that he does try to play the music the same way. It's just not the same. It's not the same guy. It's not the person that wrote it.
Yeah. And that's a really good point, because I don't think there's any other lead singer that could have had such a welcome than Matt Skiba, because everyone loves Alkaline Trio.
Yeah,
and everyone loves that band.
And I know you saw them live sometime last year, I think. And I remember
I try to see them live every single time I can. I mean, growing up in the suburbs of Illinois, that's like that was our queen. That was our Beatles, was Alkaline Trio.
That's so true. Just like back in the day, Naked Ray Gun was like people in the 80s. They were like the band for Chicago.
Yeah, Dave Grohl's first concert he ever went to at the Cubby Bear.
Really? Was
Naked
it really?
Ray Gun.
Oh, that's so cool.
Oh, man, a
and I know,
knowledge.
Yeah, Matt Skiba is a huge fan of Naked Ray Gun because it's mentioned in the Parking Lot song. I can't think of...
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
That, and then he also mentions Bauhaus, too, which is an old classic band. What was your first concert you ever went to, Ashley?
The first concert I went to is actually kind of lame. I'm not Irish at all. So let me just preface it with that. I'm not Irish at all. No Irish in me whatsoever. I'm Italian, Ukrainian, whatever. I went to, it's like, I don't even know if you call it a concert. It was called...
Riverdance?
No. It was called Celtic Thunder.
Okay.
They were super popular in the U.S., but they were from Ireland, and it was basically these five guys, and they sang a lot of Irish music, a lot of Irish, like, jig music, and they also, they covered some popular, like, Americanized songs.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to that. That was my first concert because my mom was a fan of their music.
Okay.
And, like, she bought the tickets, so she was like, let's all go, it's fun. And there was, like, a young guy in the group. It was, like, a different arranged age of men.
So Celtic Thunder, no connection to Thunder Down Under, right?
None whatsoever.
Okay,
unfortunately,
I was
going to
say
no.
This. You're mentioning young guys. You're talking about group of dudes.
No, unfortunately, no.
All Irish music. Okay,
it's like all Irish music. And one of the guys that, like, the youngest one in the group, he was actually in Glee for a while.
Oh, right on.
He went over there and was in the show for a bit. He played the Irish guy in the show. If you watch the show,
don't. Oh, wait, I.
Rory or whatever his
yeah.
name is. Yeah, he was in Celtic Thunder. Yeah.
That's okay, so that's what's like the first concert you went to by yourself?
That was like an actual concert. It was
hey, wait, we're not knocking Celtic Thunder. Yeah, that is an actual concert.
It was like the demographic was significantly older and we sat in the chair the whole time, you know? It wasn't like you're like, "Yeah, let's go."
Wait, was it a chair or was it like a wheelchair? Cuz that's a really older crowd if it's
it was a chair, but
okay.
There were a lot of wheelchairs. There was like a definite older crowd. But
okay. That's not worries.
The first concert that I went to alone was Passenger.
Passenger?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Was it just a few years ago?
It was when I was probably, I could have been in eighth grade. Maybe mm-hmm. I was a freshman in high school.
Okay.
And that was the first that was like my first like concert that was like an act, like where you stood the whole time and
yeah.
I actually knew all the like lyrics and I knew the band and or the guy, I should say, because it's just one dude. But
yeah.
I went with my friends. It was super cool.
Let Her Go is mm-hmm, the hit song?
That's
okay.
him. Yeah.
That's
him.
What I thought. Nice. Well, we just have a little bit of time left, and that brings us to our next song, just a little. We have two more songs after this. We're coming to a close almost of this amazing album. It's changing. There's peaks and valleys for this whole album, which is a lot of fun. This sounds more like a country song, actually.
Yeah, there's like a little bit of a country
little
slang.
Slide guitar
yeah.
that I'm hearing in just a little.
Slide guitars, I saw a slide guitar for the first time and like heard what it sounded like and connected it to a bunch of other songs literally probably 2 or 3 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that existed.
What?
I didn't know a slide guitar was a thing because I was talking to, I was talking to somebody and they were like, "Oh, that sound you hear, that's a slide guitar like with the little thing, whatever
yeah.
that thing is." I was like, "What? That?" I hear that in like every song. You hear it all the time.
It's
you just
very
hear that
popular
it's
nowadays.
It's a very, mm-hmm. it's a very distinct sound too. Mm-hmm. You hear it all the time. I'm like, "That sounds so cool." I always thought it was when you just slid the string on the guitar, like
bent it a little bit.
Yeah, that's what I thought it was. Somebody was like, "No, it's a slide guitar," and I was like, "What is that?"
It's a really great instrument. It comes from a lot of old school Nashville when they would use that slide guitar.
So cool.
It's just, to be honest, it's just a piece of metal that you're just sliding up and down on your
so
fretboard.
Cool,
It is really cool, and there's a lot of like four string slides that you can use that you see on people sit on their lap,
yeah.
which are electric slides. Great instrument for music. That is an interesting choice for Sugar Ray though, because you know they grew up as a hardcore band before introducing the DJ concept into their musical composition. And again, a very tongue in cheek Mark McGrath said, "We were the Chili Peppers with zero talent." So
I don't want to say zero talent, but that's a good way of putting it.
Yeah.
In the nicest of way.
Yeah.
They don't have zero talent. They do have talent, but
come on,
he's
Mark,
right,
give yourself
though.
Some credit, man.
They're very Chili Peppers-esque. They have that sound, that
you know,
California easy mm-hmm. listening to sound, while also having the more intense guitar riffs, and it's interesting. That's an interesting way of putting it.
Yeah. I love the way that he's using his vocal techniques in this song too.
And the frosted tips.
Hey, oh,
total
we
side
haven't
note.
Even spoken about the frosted tips yet. That, I mean, was the look in the 90s. Like gel to a T, spiked up like a little hedgehog, the way that they looked. And he had those nice frosted tips for years. He doesn't really rock them nowadays, though.
No.
Does he?
No. His, like, I think he's a good, handsome
frosted
dude.
Frosted tips.
His eyes are so light. They kind of freak you out.
They're light eyes?
Yeah. If you look up his face.
Okay.
If you guys, for those of you who are listening, if you look up his face, he has very dark features, like dark eyebrows, dark, I don't know about dark hair, but like his eyes are so light with the darker features. He's a very interesting looking guy as an adult. He's not ugly or anything, but he's got like this creepy look. I don't even know how to explain it without being, you know what I mean?
Yeah, he.
You kind of see what I'm talking about? There's like a something different there.
Something hidden behind those eyes, you're saying?
Yeah. I mean, like, he seems like an awesome dude.
He looks like a model in these photos
definitely.
We're looking at. I mean.
But when he was younger, it was less noticeable. And I feel like now that he's older, it's just like, look, do you see what I'm talking about? Like, he has totally blonde
hair
in that picture.
In this photo, he looks like Carrot Top. This photo we're looking at, his face is completely blown out. These eyes are beaming, and this is not the spike tip friendly face that we were used to seeing. He looks almost like Draco Malfoy in this photo. Is that the guy from Harry Potter?
Oh, yeah, it is Malfoy. Yeah, he does, Malfoy? With the very light hair. Yeah.
I thought you were going to call me out for a second. You're like, I don't know who that person is.
No, yeah, once you said Harry Potter, I'm like, oh, yeah, that's it.
All right, so we're coming up to, I think we skipped Words.
No, that's the one. We got that one.
We got Words of Me?
Yeah, we got it.
So we're actually on our last song, Ashley. Disaster Piece. Awesome. Let's take a listen to it.
Ending it on a more pop punker rockish sound. It's very poppy.
It's another kind of country vibe though, like a new Nashville vibe, but just put out in the 90s. And I didn't notice how much important blues guitar was put into Sugar Ray's album. But you hit it right on the nose in the beginning of our conversation when you said, this is going to take us through a journey. I had to almost buckle up because started out punk rock, now we slid into the tropical vibe, and now we're coming back through the South with these old bluesy country beats. But this was it. I mean, this band, 311, Third Eye Blind.
Third Eye Blind's awesome.
Third Eye Blind, my old co-host, Kevin Richter, before he left, that was his favorite band.
That band's awesome. They're coming to Chicago. Really, they're going to be here on Thursday.
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow, today's Wednesday. You're right.
The Forever Green. They're going to be here sometime in the future. But yeah, they're going to be one of the best bands that has sustained the test of time. When I was doing research on this album, Mark McGrath was asked why people are so nostalgic about 90s music. And you and I really touched on it in this episode, was the fact that there's something about the song structure and the way that 90s music is put together, as opposed to the 1980s, when once Nirvana happened, the 1980s seemed almost laughable.
Yeah.
Like that music was just like kind of a joke. But there's something where the 90s is just were able to say structured because the songs were just that good.
They brought it back. Yeah, you're right. I love 80s music. Mm-hmm. But there is something with all the flashiness of the big hair and that they were using that to distract from the actual music. And it was just a lot of tight pants.
There were so many tight pants.
But it is interesting how the 90s does kind of bring it back, like Weezer, Blink-182, you know, Sugar Ray, where they kind of bring that. It is upbeat music. Sugar Ray is definitely upbeat music, but for a lot of them, it's very like upbeat sounding songs.
Yeah.
So it's like saying, just very happy. And I feel like I grew up in the 90s barely. I was born in 1997, and I feel nostalgic listening to a lot of 90s music.
Mm-hmm. My brain almost exploded when you mentioned that number. But 97. So you almost missed the 90s completely.
I know. I just made it barely.
Jeez, I mean, the Bulls did their three-peat before you were even born, or their six championships.
Yeah.
Okay. That's pretty wild. But it's cool that you grew up like kind of a post-90s life and still found the nostalgia and love for this 90s music, which makes you a pretty damn cool person, Ashley.
Yeah.
Are you ready to rate this album?
I'm ready. So, I'm so ready.
Okay, we're going to get into it. I do have to ask you the three main questions of Two Dudes, One Disc. We'll do it over one of your favorite songs, and that song is what again?
Words to Me.
Words to Me. The band Sugar Ray, you've been listening to them for years. You were an instant fan when you saw them in the Scooby-Doo mystery movie, or whatever it was called.
Yep. Spooky Island.
You would have hopped right in that mystery machine van with Sugar Ray if they would have let you. Have you ever tried to meet Sugar Ray? Have you ever met Sugar Ray?
Never met them. Did see them live. We were like front row. Like, we were standing. We like walked up and sat at the front. So I never like met them, you know, but close. Touching distance.
Okay. Have you ever tried to book them on the show?
I would totally do that, but no, I have not tried.
Okay. What is your go-to karaoke song by Sugar Ray?
Ooh. It wouldn't be this one. I wouldn't want to do this one. I think it's a good one, but it's probably going to be one of the songs that we didn't play.
Okay, that's fair.
And it's called Someday.
Someday, yes.
This is a good one.
It's one of their most massive hits.
Yeah, exactly.
Someday.
Yeah.
When my life has passed me by.
I mean, I feel like a lot of people know that one if you grew up in the 90s or you're even like me on the cusp of the 90s. Mm-hmm. I feel like a lot of my generation, my age group, we all knew Sugar Ray or knew some of Sugar Ray.
Yeah.
So that's like a, just a good, simple hit. And we're just like, oh, everyone would be like, what song is this? And be like, this is Someday, my dude. I'll tell you what.
You buy me a little drink and we'll talk about it. I'll tell you the tale of Sugar Ray. That's awesome. I do love that song. That's a really good choice. Mine would have to be Fly. I think that, because everyone knows it.
Would you do the reggae part?
Of course. That's the main reason I do it.
Yeah.
All right, so we didn't really dive into your love for Mark McGrath, which I'm sure is strong.
It's very strong.
If you had Mark McGrath in a room, what would be the one question you would ask him?
I'd probably, since he is going deaf, I'd probably ask him, is it worth it?
And he'd be like, what?
Yeah, what? What? I bet to my heart of heart he would say it was totally worth it. Mm-hmm. But that stinks, you're losing your hearing, you know?
Yeah.
But I bet that would be what I would be like. Is it all worth it? Like, everything that you've done in your past, all like the addictions, everything, is it all worth it for what you experience and like how you're living your lifestyle now?
Wow. That's a very deep question. I like that. Was it all worth it? You could ask that to a lot of music artists.
Oh, yeah, right?
I don't know. I'm sure that half of them would give you answers that you didn't want to hear, to be honest.
Right, like just really sad things, and you're like, what?
I know.
You're supposed to say yes, yes.
I know. Come on. Well, I love that. I love that we took a deep dive into this album today. I think we're ready to give it the rating. Now, the rating system, as everyone knows, is on the scale of 1 to 7. It's the Avenge 7 scale. 4 is the true neutral. 7 is the highest number you can give it.
All right.
What do you give Sugar Ray's Ashley Byhun? What do you give Sugar Ray's self-titled album, Sugar Ray?
I mean, I want to say 7 just because I love it. But if we really like dove into like their skill set and all that kind of stuff, I'd probably say a 6.
A 6?
Because a 7 is great. Like, they're awesome. But, you know, like some of them may not be great guitar players, great mm-hmm. drummers, great songwriters. Mm-hmm. So I give them a 6.
Okay, you know, that's
fair. In the overall scheme of things.
Okay, 6 is pretty strong. Now, going into this, I was ready to give it like a 3.
Really? You were not expecting it?
Because I didn't know what to expect from Sugar Ray, because, I mean, they're a famous band. I know a lot about them. I know their fans have a really strong affection towards them. But after going through this album with you and learning about your love for them and the way that you were connected with them throughout the years, and then hearing the fact that they're such an eclectic band, I'm going to have to give this album a solid 5. 5 is what I'd have to say. I mean, it's a great album. I love Mark McGrath and what he's been through. I love how he's so tongue-in-cheek about his music. He doesn't take himself too seriously, which is so rock and roll. Like, you shouldn't need to do that.
Yeah, just you're making music for everyone else to hear.
Mm-hmm.
For yourself and for everyone else to hear.
Exactly. Yeah. It should all be for yourself. I feel like can we do like a sidebar real quick and a side real fast?
Yeah.
That was a great album, wasn't it? Yeah. Anyway, back to normal. Ashley, where can we find more of your information? Where can we find you, reach out to you, and see more of you here on the station?
I actually have 2 Instagram accounts. One that's solely for posting things for around the station, producing things, and then one where I just kind of goof around and show more pictures of my personal life. So you can follow me on Instagram at Ashley Byhun, which is AshleyByhun. Mm-hmm. And then you can also follow me at Instagram at Lilbeski, which I said previously, but I'll say it again, LIL_BESKI. And you can also find me on Twitter at Ashley Byhun.
Right on. Do you have any shows coming up or anything? Are you, who are you producing for nowadays?
Well, I produce my regular shows every Saturday from 1 to 2 for Scott Catoon. It's the startup showcase about investing and startups and all that fun stuff. And then after that, I have Dane Neal, On the Road with Dane Neal, where he talks about like food and cars and racing and travel. And that's every Saturday from 1 to 4 collectively. Mm-hmm. And then I've been filling in all over the place. I'm hanging out with this guy all the time, Michael, right next to me, and Joe for Steve Cochran's show. So I'll be there for the rest of this week. And then who knows where I'll be next?
Yeah.
We're riding the wave.
Ashley, you are kicking ass, and I'm so glad you could join us. You're on 2 Dudes, 1 Disc.
This is so exciting. When you asked me, I was like, yeah, that's awesome. I got to think of some band now.
Well, come back again. We'll have to do, maybe we'll do Papa Roach one of these days.
We could do Beach Boys for you.
I'd love that. All right, everybody, tune in. Again, this is yours, Mike Heideman. You can find me at michaelheideman.com or wherever you find your podcast. Just search Michael Heideman. Search Sound Sessions. Ashley, thanks again.
Hey, no problem. Thanks for having me.